Let's turn first to 2 Timothy 3 and then to Psalm 1 for our scripture reading. 2 Timothy 3 and then Psalm 1. The contrast between the way of sin that leads to death and the way of scriptures that leads to life through faith in Jesus. Two ways. Psalm 1 also speaks of the same two ways. But let's start with 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17, page 1182. 2 Timothy 3. Paul then writing to Timothy, pastor at Ephesus. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, don't follow that way of the evil people and imposters. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then Psalm 1. Power of the Word of God to equip you and make you a complete person. Isn't that what you want? To grow in Christ and become more mature and well-rounded as a believer? That's the power of the Word. To do that when you read it, hear it, study it in faith. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. For he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Blessed is the man, our text, verse 2, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Verses 2 and 3, may God bless his word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters, we want to continue our series on growing a word culture in our lives. We started with Psalm 119, verse 11, looking at the power of the word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the word of God is like a leaven or a yeast, a culture of power that when you hide it in your heart, it takes over. It spreads, it grows, it takes over your life, it transforms you, gives you strength to fight against sin, gives you strength to grow in holiness and live for God. That's what growing a word culture in our lives is all about. You hide it in your heart so that it can spread and grow and take over your life. And in our series, in the weeks to come, we want to see three different contexts or ways in which God is calling us in the Bible to hide the word in our hearts. First, in personal devotions, spending time by yourself in the word of God. That's what we want to look at Psalm 1. Then in the context of family worship, We want to look at that next, Lord willing. And then in the context of coming under the preaching of the word as the means of grace in the congregation. So personal devotions, family worship, congregational worship, corporate worship under the preaching of the word of God as a means of grace. But in all these ways, our lives are to be taken up with the Bible, with the word of God, to take it into our hearts and to pray for it to grow and take over. I want to look especially at three words this morning under growing a word culture through personal devotions. First, the word delight. Then the word discipline. And then the word dividend. The results, the payoff. First, the delight. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You want to be a strong, flourishing tree planted by streams of water? You want to be a strong, flourishing tree in your life? You got to live close to the water. That's the point of the psalm. You got to delight in the water. Or would you rather have your life wither and fade and be a wilting plant, weak, dying, than live far away from the water? That's the point of the psalm, to become a strong tree in the Lord. You have to delight in the water and live close to it. It starts with choosing the word of the Lord as your favorite thing in life. In Psalm 1, we read about two choices. Blessed is the man who does not, a choice not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's where it starts. You just walk by and take a look and keep going. But something got your attention, and then the next step in this growing habit of sin is you stand, you stop and you stand in the way of the wicked, the ungodly. Well, once you stop and stand, the world of sin grabs you, and then you sit in the seat of the scorner. You're stuck. It's become your life. That's one choice. That's living far away from the word. That's living in the way of sin. That's choosing destruction as your end. Or you can choose the way of delighting in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man who does not choose the way of sin, walking by it. Just walking by, sitting or standing in it and then sitting. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. And remember, that word law again is Torah, which doesn't mean only commandments, but the whole word of God. It means instruction. The promises of the gospel. The commandments of the good life of God for the saved. The testimonies of the Lord. The great works of God. The whole word of God. We need to delight. We need to choose the delight of the Lord and of his word. That's the call here. These are the two options, and these are the only two. There's no third. To live close to the world and love it. And want to get your fill in it and plunge into the deep end of it. And say, this is where my life is. This is where my happiness is found. This is where the goods really are. This is the good life. And then to put the word on the sidelines. Or the true choice. To live close to the word. To delight in the word. And say, this is where the life is. The happiness is found. The fulfillment. The joy. The blessing. and I keep the world to the margins in second place. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's impossible to choose both, to have two lords, to have two masters. We read that earlier in Matthew 6. You can't. And that's what the psalm is saying. So what's your first delight, your first love? Is it the Lord and his word, or is it the world and its sin? You can't have both. Which is it? Which is it for you? Be honest with yourself. Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Is God your first love? And the world at the margins of your life as the way to serve him? Or is the world your first love and you keep God in the margins, but of course you gotta pay some attention to him, or you'll feel real bad or you'll look real bad. And so it's just become guilt-motivated God time. But then God isn't your first love, right? Delight. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That word delight means your pleasure, your overwhelming desire is for the word of the Lord. Children, are you learning to read your Bible every day? You say it's hard. Yeah, it is hard. Some things I don't understand. No, some things you don't understand. But how can I read it if I really don't delight in it? Yeah, but it works the other way. How can you delight in it if you don't read it? Maybe it's true for adults too. It doesn't give you a lot of pleasure. You find it just really tough hoeing. You can't appreciate what you don't know. So you just have to dig in. And the more you know the word, the more the glory of God you will see. And the more you'll delight in his word. It's like a relationship when you first know somebody. You might have some appreciation when you first know a wonderful person. But the more you get to know him or her, the deeper the appreciation becomes and the greater the delight in him or her. And so for this relationship with the word to grow, this relationship of delight to increase, you got to dig in. One person wrote, the Bible is endlessly interesting because it is God's story. And God by nature is himself endlessly interesting. The Bible is an ever-flowing fountain. The more you read it, the more you find its truth and beauty to be inexhaustible. How blessed is that man, that woman who delights in the law of God. The word of God, says the Bible, is sweeter than honey to my taste, Psalm 19, and more to be desired than much fine gold. Better than the best meal. Better than all the wealth. That's what it is to delight in the word. To see its beauty and its glory, because there God himself is showing himself to you. That's really what it is. Why reading the Bible is so delightful, because you're communing with your God and he's communing with you. It's personal. It's a friendship. God is talking to you. What a delight. There's nothing better. But secondly, we see the word discipline. Being a strong tree develops by the discipline of staying close to the word of God in your daily life. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, I know that routine all by itself, using the word as a routine, just to check the box and say, now I'm good with God, I read my Bible. It's deadly legalism when it's only routine. But without routine, then your encounters with the Word of God are hit and miss, and it'll become more miss than hit. And then you'll end up living further and further away from the Word and grow weaker and wilt more. So routine and discipline that arise from delight, it's got to arise from delight in the Word, are so important. Routine and discipline. And that's why we call them devotions. Because they're a matter of being devoted to God. And when you're devoted, you discipline yourself to be constant, regular, and centrally in the Word. The Word of God has a central, constant, and regular place in your life on a daily basis. One of the great blessings of contemporary culture is that because of technology, not only do we have more of the Word of God available to us than ever before, the written Word of God, we also have more time available to us. Sadly, stats show that the more technology we have, the less Christians are reading their Bibles. So the more time, opportunity, technology, availability, the less we're doing it. And we need to repent of that. Because the sad thing is that technology, while creating opportunity to read the Bible, also creates opportunity to be distracted from the Bible and to spend all kinds of time in other stuff. And I'm afraid a lot of it is drivel, light, not that important. But the Word of God, that's more powerful and more important than anything else in the world. So we have to have the discipline of having the Word centrally located in our lives, constantly in it, at regular intervals. Now, that doesn't mean when God says he meditates on it day and night that God is demanding of us the exact routine of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. Now, certainly early morning and bedtime are a good and healthy practice. Let God's voice be the first one you hear in the morning, said Matthew Henry. But that's not God's point, that he demands exactly 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., but he is calling you to set a time daily or two times daily. But in some way, to be daily in the Word, to have the Word as central again, constant and regular part of your daily life. And then notice part of this discipline is to meditate on it. You know, the folks back then in the time of the Psalms couldn't do daily Bible reading. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't even have the Old Testament scrolls. Only the king had them. He was to read them day and night. The priests had access to them in the temple. There were very few people who actually had a Bible. Had the scrolls. In fact, that was true until about the time of the Reformation when the printing press was invented. That's when Bibles began to be printed out and everybody had them in their home, and now every room in the home has one. So daily Bible reading couldn't actually become a part of most Christians' lives until the 1600s. But daily meditation on the Word of God was part of their lives. So here's what they do. They would go to Sabbath synagogue, the Jewish people. They would hear the priests explain, read and explain and apply the Word of God. They would grab it, memorize certain verses, internalize the Word, and they would go home and chew on it all week. Set aside time. Aside times every day where they would remember that sermon, remember that verse that was read, and just like hard candy, suck on that all week long. They would say it to themselves in their meditation. Then they would pray over it. They would confess their sins in relation to it. They would rejoice in the Lord's mercy found in that verse, in that scripture. They would seek the Lord's guidance from it for their lives, and they would offer their lives more holy to God in that verse. And that's what meditation is all about. So we can read the Word of God, but are we actually doing something with it when we read it? We got to read it meditatively. Maybe you could make a commitment to read the Bible in a year. That's about 15 minutes of Bible reading per day. And then you underline one verse that you read. And then you spend a few minutes just chewing on that verse and letting it sink into your heart. Pray over it. Confess your sins with respect to it. Rejoice in the Lord's mercies found in it. Seek the promises of God in it for your life. Look for the Lord's strength. Commit your life today in light of that truth. Or maybe you don't read through the whole Bible, but small portions, along with a devotional that doesn't take you out of the passage, too many devotionals do, but take you back into it and help you milk that word for all it's worth. Like children, like babies, says Peter in 1 Peter 2, crave the pure spiritual milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. But one way or another, commit to some discipline, some routine in your life that works for you, where the Word has a daily place in your life. It's central, it's constant, and it's regular. And then help your children at a very young age to begin the same. Put a light by their bed, above their head, above their pillow. Make sure they sit up to read. Read a short section. Pray, and then go to sleep. So that our lives are like a tree planted by streams of water. Notice what it says. Not a tree planted by water. By a stagnant pool. The word is streams of water. A tree planted by streams of water. Where fresh living water coming out of the springs of God's grace are flowing over your life every day. To comfort you. There's forgiveness of sins for me in Christ. To encourage you. There's more than enough strength for me for today's problems. To convince me of safety. There's protection in my God to keep me safe through the day. To remind me of purpose. God has given me a purpose. My labor today in the Lord is not in vain. To give you perspective. In this suffering, God is working out his purposes for his glory and my good. To give you instruction, to know God better and see his glory, to rebuke you, to show you your sin and need for a Savior, to train you, to guide you in the good ways, to give you confidence, to feed your doubting mind with truth in so many ways. I sat with Psalm 119 for a while this week and just typed out all the blessings that come from meditating on the Word of God. There are dozens in those 176 verses. Discipline. And then dividends. The Word of God is a source of great blessing. When it is central in your life, constant, regular part of your daily life, on his law he meditates day and night. That man is blessed. that man is blessed. That woman is blessed. That child is blessed. If you happen to listen to the little thingy I sent out yesterday, a member of the congregation told me about a relative of hers with Down syndrome, a young girl, very afraid of storms. One night at bedtime, there's a thunderstorm. She's so scared to go to bed. And suddenly she gets up and says, "Mommy, I'm going to bed. God is my rock." And the mom says, "Where's that from?" And finds out that her little girl has been reading the Psalms on her own. And the Lord has spoken to her in them and convinced her it's safe for her to go to bed. He'll be with her, be her rock of refuge and safety, her stronghold in this scary thing. Well, that counts for everybody and everything. It's a source of great blessing. The word blessed means happy, full, satisfied, and prosperous. Listen to how Dane Ortlund describes the blessedness of being close to the Word of God. "Nothing can compare with the blessedness, that is, the fruitfulness, the flourishing, the prosperity, the delightfulness of a life saturated with the Word of God. Walk with God. Soak in His Word. Take His yoke upon you. You'll be blessed, truly happy, with the happiness that the winds of trial cannot blow away." How true. I want to go through seven blessings, dividends of living close to the Word, found right in the Psalm. The first one, steadfastness. He's like a tree planted, rooted. Steadfastness. Standing firm in the covenant of grace. Confidence in Christ. Love for the gospel. Total dependence on it for daily living. Steadfastness in your faith. Do you want that? Do you need that? I sure do. Blessing number two, vitality. Vitality and joy in your Christian living. That yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. Its leaf does not wither. Full of the assurance of salvation and the hope of glory, vitality and joy in your Christian living and hoping. Thirdly, fruitfulness. It yields its fruit in its season, the development of the fruit of the Spirit, growing in the beauty of holiness, becoming wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, becoming conformed to the image of Christ, being a witness to those around you. Fruitfulness. When you read the word in faith, remember, it's the power, the message of Christ crucified to destroy your sin and your sinful nature, and risen from the dead to bring to life salvation, eternal life, and living to God. And when you read that in faith, that power goes in work in you to make you prosper. Not necessarily with riches and fame, but with all these blessings, steadfastness. Secondly, vitality. Third, fruitfulness. Fourth, relevance, impact. Look, in all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff. You want to be a lightweight? You want to be of zero blessing and impact to those around you? You want to be like chaff that just blows along and has nothing to it? Then stay away from the word. You'll dry up and be an empty nothing. But you want to have a weighty, impactful, consequential life? That's the prosperity of the man, the woman who lives close to the word of God, the child, the boy, the girl. Fifth, standing. standing. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The righteous stand. They stand in the congregation. They stand before the Lord. They stand on the day of judgment. They stand. They stand by faith in Christ, filled with the righteousness of Christ. They stand by God's grace. They stand by God's strength. They stand. And the last one. They're a meaningful part of the assembly, the congregation of the righteous. They stand there. And as they bear their fruit, drinking from the word of God, their fruit goes out to bless and build their brothers and sisters in the assembly of the righteous. Prosper. Dave Jenkins writes, biblical literacy matters for every Christian because every Christian is to know their Bible, to have their lives shaped by the Bible so that they can have godly character and go out and share the truth of Jesus with others from Scripture. You see, really, there's a twofold prosperity that the man, the woman, the child of God gets from living close to the Bible. Blessed communion with God. You get to be so comforted in Him, so assured of His love for you in Christ, so reminded that forgiveness of sins is yours, so encouraged for today's troubles, so guided through today's perplexities and problems, so filled with hope for glory. Your communion with God is strengthened and rich. You flourish in your communion with God, and you flourish in your communion with one another. That's really the double prosperity, the double dividend of living close to the Word of God. Well, brothers and sisters, I urge you, whether single, married, grown up, child, to take the Word of God and ask God to give you, first of all, delight in it, or desire to delight in it more. If you don't always feel that delight so strongly, He'll give that to you. And then ask Him to give you discipline, to be regular with it, so that it has a central place in your life and you're willing to say no to other things so as not to neglect the reading of the Word. Ask God to give you a Christ-centered focus on Scripture, meditation on it, so that when you read it, you're listening to Jesus talk to you. May God cause us to flourish as trees planted by streams of water washing over our lives, strengthening us, causing us to bear fruit for God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your word, even if we had no copies of the Bible, for giving it to us in the synagogue, in the assembly, so we can take it home and use it every day. Thank you that we have the added blessing in our time of the written word of God by our bedside and by our family tables. Lord, it's available. You have given it to us. Now give us the desire. Give us the delight. Give us the discipline, so that we might also enjoy its dividends and we might bear much fruit. Help us each to live close to the Word of God, Lord. And if we've been neglecting it, forgive us. Today we recommit ourselves to being in the Word. Help us to make the most of every opportunity, every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.